Miss Bennet.
Mr. Darcy.
Excuse the interruption, Miss Bennet. Mrs. Collins told me you were ill, and I wished... I have come in hopes of finding you better.
I am completely recovered, thank you.
In vain have I struggled. It will not do. My feelings will not be repressed. You must allow me to tell you how ardently I admire and love you. I must tell you that I have felt, have long felt you to be the most agreeable, charming woman of my acquaintance. I do not know how my affection began, and though I have tried to suppress it, I could not. Throughout, my reason opposed my inclination. My knowledge of your family obstacles, which should have precluded any attachment, have long prevented the acknowledgement of my regard for you. But, Miss Bennet, this knowledge, my very character, must bow to the strength of my regard. Your beauty, your spirit, have completely overcome my sense of the inferiority of your connections. I care not that the world may see this union as beneath me. Miss Bennet, may I say, Elizabeth, in spite of all, I do love you, and I anxiously await the words of your acceptance, words that will make me the happiest of all men.
In such cases as these, it is, I believe, the established mode to express a sense of gratitude for the sentiments avowed, however unequally they may be returned. And if I could feel gratitude, I would now thank you. But I cannot. I have never desired your good opinion, and you have certainly bestowed it most unwillingly. I am sorry if this causes you pain, but it is to be hoped that the feelings which, you tell me, have long prevented this proposal will soon overcome any regret you now feel.
And this is all the reply which I am to have the honor of expecting. I might, perhaps, wish to be informed why, with so little endeavor at civility, I am thus rejected, but it is of small importance.
I might as well inquire why, with so evident a design of insulting me, you chose to tell me that you liked me against your will, against your reason, even against your character. But I have other provocations. You know I have. Do you think any consideration would tempt me to accept the man who has been the means of ruining, perhaps forever, the happiness of a most beloved sister? You cannot deny you have been the principal means of dividing them from each other. Can you deny that you have done it?
I have no wish of denying it. Towards him, I have been kinder than towards myself.
And it is not merely this affair on which my dislike is founded, on the subject of Mr. Wickham. What can you have to say?
You take an eager interest in that gentleman's concerns.
Who that knows his misfortunes can help it?
His misfortunes? Oh, yes, his misfortunes have been great indeed.
And of your infliction.
And this is your opinion of me. I thank you for explaining it so fully. But perhaps these offenses might have been overlooked had not your pride been hurt by my honest confession of the scruples that had long prevented my forming any serious design. Had I flattered you, but disguise of every sort is my abhorrence. Did you expect me to rejoice in the inferiority of your connections?
You are mistaken, Mr. Darcy, if you suppose the mode of your declaration affected me, except that it spared me the concern which I might have felt in refusing you had you behaved in a more gentlemanlike manner. You could not have made me the offer of your hand in any possible way that would have tempted me to accept it. From the very beginning of my acquaintance with you, your arrogance, your conceit, your selfish disdain for the feelings of others built so immovable a dislike that I had not known you a month before I felt that you were the last man in the world I could ever be prevailed upon to marry.
You have said quite enough, madam. I perfectly comprehend your feelings, and have now only to be ashamed of what my own have been. Forgive me for having taken up so much of your time, and accept my best wishes for your health and happiness.